Now, from Hollywood, Romance. Romance, transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, a story of three women, three memories, and one man. Written by Tom Hanley, we star Gil Stratton in Fielder's Choice.
Isn't there something I can do for her, nurse?
This is her third, isn't it? What'd you do for her the first two times?
Well, I waited. At least she knew I was around, and...
That's what I thought. Here, right in here, Mr. Fielder.
Is this her room?
Yes, I thought you might be more comfortable to wait in here.
Tell me, nurse, is it any easier the third time?
For her, yes. For you, no.
How long will it be?
Well, that's hard to say. Now, look, you just settle down in here. Worrying won't help her any. Do you have enough cigarettes?
Three babies now and all on rainy days. And you want to know something? We've been married 10 years now, and I met her on a rainy day when she was 10 years old.
That's nice. Relax, Mr. Fielder. Just think of something pleasant, and soon she'll be back.
I'll try. Oh, nurse.
Yes?
Let me know, won't you? You know, if it's a boy or a girl.
We'll let you know.
Boy, what a rat race. Cleveland, Chicago, Denver, and St. John's Hospital. Boy, look at her come down. It was this way when you met her, Fielder. 100 years ago, wasn't it? Nah, just short of that. 1930. Remember? Just like this. Not gloomy. A gray day, a rainy day. A wonderful day. Because you were 10. And destined to meet all three of the women of your life in that day. Remember? The unholy three. Gwen, Peg, Mona. You're delivering your last block of papers, and they were standing gloomily in the doorway to Peg's playhouse. Gloomy, that is, till they saw you.
Hey! Hey, you in the yellow slicker!
You brats hollering at me?
Well, what do you want?
Wait, we want a paper. You know anybody delivers papers?
Well, now, what do you think I'm carrying here? A bag of wet mice?
Oh, wet mice!
you girls want to subscribe?
Well, that depends.
On what?
On what paper you deliver.
Can't you read? It says right on the bag, Journal Courier. Hey, what's this? Some kind of playhouse or something?
Sure, belongs to her. We all play here.
Yeah, well, what do you stop me for? What do you want?
Paper, I told you. Give us an extra and we'll think it over.
You mean this little house doesn't even leak rain into it?
No.
Then what are you all wearing raincoats for?
We had to walk in the rain, stupid, to get here.
You better watch out of your car, I'm stupid. What's the matter with those two? You the only one who can talk?
My name's Mona. That's Gwendolyn and that's Peggy.
Oh, I'm Malcolm Fielder. Mac'll do. Can I see you in the playhouse?
Well, we'll have to move out to let you in. But we don't mind.
Hey, this is pretty keen. Make a few changes and this be a nice clubhouse. Hey, what you doing?
Lesson learned at a tender age, women, you trust them one at a time, if at all. You made good on your threat, though. You really wrecked the playhouse and wrecked your financial setup for about 2 full months. Girls were for the birds for 5 tedious years after that. And suddenly you became 15 and something seemed to give way. Was it a party? Girls on one side, boys on the other. In no man's land, somebody's mother.
Well, now everybody's going to dance.
Oh,
If you don't, we'll form circles, and you know what that means. No choice of partner.
Oh, here now, Malcolm, you be first. Well, go on. Get something started here.
Yes, ma'am. I'll start something.
Now, there's a good boy. You see, Malcolm's a gentleman. He knows how to have fun at parties. The rest of you boys can just follow suit.
Mona. Hey, Mona.
Why me? What'd I ever do to you?
Listen, Mona. Since nobody wants to dance, then why don't we...
What? Oh! Say that again, Matt. Well, tell them. Go on, tell them. I can't. Well, I can't.
Well, what is it, Mona, dear? Oh, surely you can tell us.
Well, all right. You asked for it. Max said, he said, since nobody wants to dance, why don't we all play posto?
Voices and eyes. Shame and embarrassment. Then some cool-headed pal hollered scrub, and all the boys gave up pretense of party and piled outside to play ball. Afterwards, you saw Mona sitting on the grass nearby watching you. A girl. Trouble at best. But now, suddenly, just today, it seemed all loveliness. Hi.
Hi.
Well, I've got to get going.
Malcolm, don't go.
What'd you call me?
Malcolm.
Well, don't call me that. It's Mac. You know that.
I'm sorry about what happened at the party, Mac.
Something happened?
Well, I'm trying to apologize to you.
For what?
For embarrassing you.
You didn't.
Mac Fielder, I did too. Look at you right now. You're blushing all over again.
All right, then. Why'd you do it?
I just wanted to. I wanted you to look at me. Just the way you did.
Look at you?
Special-like. With hate.
Hate?
Special hate all for me.
You're cracking up, Mona.
Well, I am. It's all your fault.
My fault?
And from now on, Mac Fielder, you're going to think of me as different. Different than Gwen or Peg or any other girl, for that matter.
See you later. Mona tried desperately to fan the fires of change that year, but it didn't work. Basketball, football, and an old jalopy took most of your time. Then in 1937, a big high school affair kicked you off to a siege of dating. Peg came beautifully onto the scene. Alice in Wonderland, grown up she was, only she had a turned-up nose and the earnest manner. With Peg, there was never anybody else in the room. Nobody but you.
Gosh, I sure do love that tune.
It's not bad.
How are you coming with that car of yours? Think you'll ever get it running again?
One more part of timing gear. It'll be fine.
Do you always drink this many Cokes when you go out?
Well, not always. Peg, would you like to dance?
Oh, I'd love to. On one condition.
What's that?
That you wipe that look off your face.
Look?
Like you're going to the executioner.
Maybe you are. I never learned to dance.
Oh, you'll learn fast. Come on, I'll teach you.
Some other time. Tonight, just struggle with me. I promise not to break anything. Well, it's more like it.
You do fine. I like dancing with you.
Yeah, but I gotta rest up for tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? What happens then?
Arthur Murray. He wants another lesson.
Oh, Mac, you kill me.
There goes old Gully's dog. Cyclops, we always used to call him. He lost an eye in a fight one time.
How terrible.
That doesn't bother him. He barks all night every night.
Without stopping?
Well, there was a night old Gully woke up thinking that something was wrong, and it was just that Cyclops had quit barking. So the old man went back to sleep.
Good for Cyclops.
No, it turned out the dog was a welcoming committee.
Oh, Mac, you're making this up.
No, I'm not. They cleaned him out, took everything that wasn't tied down.
Oh, Mac, stop it.
You know, you're beautiful, Peggy.
You must be crazy.
Is it crazy to think that about a girl you like?
Well, about me it is. I'm too tall and freckly and pigeon-toed and...
And beautiful.
Maybe we better go into the dance.
No, no, stay here with me. Peg, I love you.
You do?
Peg.
You're the first boy I ever kissed.
You'd have to say that.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Not if it weren't true. Someday maybe you'll know me better.
It'll be your fault if I don't. Hey, looks like another bad night for old Gully.
Why?
Cyclops. He quit barking again. From that night on, it was a year of Peg. Fun, happiness he'd never known existed. Then came a night you went to her and found her in tears.
Mac? Mac, I've got terrible news. Just awful.
What is it, Peg? It can't be as bad as all that.
Well, it is, though. It's worse. Dad's being transferred to Chicago.
What? Oh, no, Peg.
We're moving away. The end of this month.
What do we do?
What can we do? You can't very well get to Chicago. Will you write me every day?
Chicago? I can't believe it. It might as well be South Africa.
Will you write to me every single day, Mac? Will you?
Chicago.
We will return to romance in just a moment. Ever hear about Ben Adam, who was so happy when he found that his name led all the rest in the Angel's Book? Well, no need for your name to be first in the registration book of your local voting precinct, but better be certain it's somewhere among the listings. Make sure you don't miss registration day in your community, because you have to register if you wish to vote. And now for the second act of Romance.
For 3 months, the letters flew back and forth in ever diminishing numbers until by early 1939, you'd all but forgotten Peg. You began to notice Mona again. Mona the crazy one, the dare-taker, the first in and the last out. You dated her and found that to her a mere beach party was a kind of a pre-Olympics warm-up. And just when you knew she wouldn't stop, she would. And she'd look at you with large, moist eyes, and you'd know that you were Lancelot and she was Guinevere. She wore a hair page boy for a while, Mona-style page boy. It turned up in all the wrong places and was something like Mona herself, kind of untamed, disorganized, but fun. Fun like there was no tomorrow, until the night of the picnic at Friper's Boat Landing. Hey, here, have a can of beer, Mona Mouse.
No, thank you.
Oh, Europe's got a war and Mona's got a bore. Why are you so quiet?
Don't you think you've had enough, Mac?
Ah, come on. What's the matter with you? Hey, get a load of the rah-rah girl herself.
Stop it. Don't be such a pig.
Ah, come on. Don't you run out of me, Mona
Leave
Mouse.
Me Leave me alone.
Ow. Mona. I'm sorry, you hear me? I'm sorry.
I'll find someone to take me home.
What's got into you?
Nothing's got into me. Just that getting full of beer isn't my idea of fun.
Well, I'm no fuller than anybody else.
Does that make it right? You get home the best way you can. If you can find the car.
After that, you never fought with Mona again. Big reason being because she wouldn't go out with you. It was all right. You were busy with college, and it wasn't the extracurricular activities so much, but the fraternities and the hazings and the decisions. The decisions were the worst because the war was getting closer and, well, some of the boys were waving their arms about being the next batch of cannon fodder. Others were talking Air Corps and the perils of 9G pullouts. Finally, with the necessary 2 years college behind you, you decided in the summer of 1941 to try for the Air Corps. And among other things, it brought you smack into the disbanded camp of the Unholy Three again. Only this time it was Gwen. Handsome, steady, serene Gwen. Raven hair and an olive complexion. You'd lost track of her until that day you walked into the bank.
Yes, may I help you?
Gwenny!
What?
When did you start working here?
Mac Fielder. It is. Not a day older.
How long you been here, Gwen?
Oh, about 6 months. How you doing?
Oh, fine. Listen, is Mr. Moylan in? I want to see if he'll write me a letter of recommendation for the Air Corps.
Oh, sure, he'll see you. Just tap on the door and walk on in.
Well, it's good to see you again, Gwen. Listen, if you're not doing anything tonight... Hey, you're not engaged or anything, are you?
No, I'm not engaged or anything.
Well, then let's get together tonight. You know, maybe a show, and we can talk over old times.
Oh, listen to the boy, old times.
Well, you know what I mean. Gosh, we've known each other for so long, more than half our lives.
It seems longer the way you say it.
But it's true. Hey, I'll go in and see Mr. Moylan now, and then you and I'll go out tonight. Okay?
We'll see.
Everything was all Gwen after that. Then one night, you had to break the news to her. It was at the fairgrounds that you told her.
Oh, Mac, I thought you'd never win me one of these. Somehow they look so cheap on their shelves, and then when you got one of your own, it's so important. You're a good shot, Mac.
I should be. I've hunted all my life. Gwen, there's something I want to tell you.
What do you want to tell me?
I got my orders today.
Oh, no.
I'm to report to the pilot replacement center at Kelly Field within 10 days.
Oh. Well, are you glad, Mac?
Well, it's what I wanted for so long, the chance. And, I don't know, now somehow it doesn't seem important. That's because of you, Gwen.
Every night I've said my prayers against this moment while you...
Well, I've been praying that they would accept me. I know, Gwen.
But why, Mac? What's it all about? We aren't at war. Why do they have to take you away now?
We're not the only ones affected by this. If I wait around, they'll draft me eventually, and, well, I'd rather be in the air than on the ground.
But it's not our war.
Well, they call it preparation to make sure we win it if it ever becomes our war. Hey, Gwenny, dry those eyes. People are beginning to look at me like I'm a girl beater.
Then I'll join the service, too. There must be something I can do. Red Cross, something.
That's right. You'll be a big help. Come on. I'll shoot you another doll. The name Mac Fielder disappeared in an airport in Texas where it was all but replaced by a serial number. You were young and healthy. It was hard and tough, but you made it and found that a hot pilot was mostly a careful pilot. And the ones who most often came back from raids out over England were those with good navigators and a lot of luck. And Gwen? Well, 9 months of training had just about buried Gwen, and 30 missions over Germany and reassignment to the South Pacific completed it. 6 missions with the 5th Air Force in New Guinea rated you a furlough to Sydney, Australia, where you walked into a bar with a great Aussie flyer, Pev Martin.
Lady, let's have a go at it. There's nothing says a few elbows won't get us to the bar in 3 minutes flat.
Well, just don't get in my way, Pev.
Well, if it weren't for the bloody Yanks crowd and about her thirsty Australian, you'd get a decent drink.
Hey,
come on,
easy,
Yank. Don't walk up my back. You get the first drink after me and my mate here.
Well, then get it moving, Aussie. Hey, Mac Fielder, it can't be.
Phony! What are you doing here?
Well, trying to get a drink, lunkhead.
Hey, Pev, meet a guy from my hometown, Boney Belinsky. Boney, this is Pev Martin.
Hi, Boney. Listen, lads, grab that booth right behind you. I'll work myself up to the dispensarium and bring your drinks back here.
Oh, got it. Hey. Thanks, Pev. Slide in here, Mac. Oh, I mean Captain Mac.
Oh, can it, Boney. Hey, I see you got yourself plenty of action.
Oh, too much. Turned in 3.5 months of repairs out at the 727th General Hospital. But, oh, hey, Mac.
Yeah?
Those nurses.
Yeah?
Hey, if I got news for you, guess who's here?
Where?
Guess who's a nurse out at the hospital?
Oh, I can't guess. Who?
Uncle Sam's prettiest.
I still can't guess. Come on, tell me.
It's one of your unholy three.
Who? Come on, Boney, tell me.
I'm going to be Mr. Mystery. You go out to the 727th General Hospital and ask for all three girls, Peg, Mona, and Gwen. One of them you'll get. Surprise yourself.
Ah, Boney, come on.
To the 727th, Mac. She's out there.
It's you. So it's you who got the flag waved in your face. I ran into Belinsky. He said Uncle Sam's prettiest nurse was here. And you know something? He was right. Within a year from that time you were married, this time you knew which one of the unholy three you wanted. And it's been 10 of the greatest years you could imagine, too. Yeah, it sure has. Relax, Fielder. She's going to be all right. It's like the nurse said. Relax, and before you know it, she'll be back in here safe and sound.
Mr. Fielder, she's here.
So soon? It's over so soon? Well, where is she? Nobody told me about the baby.
She wouldn't let us. Made us promise.
Well, may I talk to her?
She's still pretty loopy. And she'll be fine by tomorrow.
Hello, sweetheart. How do you feel?
Not at all, Malcolm. Oh, I love you. Malcolm.
Oh, come on. Aren't you going to tell me? What do we get?
A boy. What else? You said you wanted one.
Oh, I did not. I said either. Troublemaker.
Sure. Mona's always a troublemaker. How are the children?
Oh, they're fine. Just fine. You rest. We want you. You and that man home with us again. Sleep, Mona.
Romance is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. Today's story was written by Tom Hanley. Starred in Fielder's Choice was Gil Stratton. Others in the cast were Dick Beals, Eve McVeigh, Paula Winslow, Peggy Weber, Gloria Grant, Miriam Wolfe, Ben Wright, and Peter Leeds. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. This is Larry Thor inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time.
Douglas Edwards speaking. The Republicans move into San Francisco next week, and there may be some big surprises. Stay tuned to this station for convention coverage so colorful and complete, you'll feel you're there.